First off, you know, when we talk about He walked our path, and for you who are new, because I know we have some new people, we're just kind of going through some different pieces of Jesus' ministry and how He walked our path. And, you know, I been thinking this week a lot about, do you ever stop to contemplate how much God loves us? In the sense that He walked our path. He had come and He became like us. He gave us instructions to help us, to keep us from being tricked by the evil one. And rather than trying to redeem us out of this, He sent Jesus Christ to help us. And I stop and think about that. This week has just really been a time of thinking about a lot of these type of things. I think, what a Savior we have, amen? What a Savior. Next on the line is Joan Hill. Now, it's funny because there's a couple things here. Number one is she was on the list for her service. She is a ministry machine. Some people like to do a ministry, some do a few, and then there's Joan Hill. Okay, all right. Now, Joan Hill lost her husband Monday of this week, and it's been a long, long battle with Alzheimer's. And so I also want to tell you that next Sunday at 3 o'clock will be the service for him. And what a great man he was. He taught me what I know. And some of the others in here had experiences of being taught. So they together were ministry machine. And we're going to miss him, but we're glad he's in heaven. And we're glad because he was so ill that it's really neat to know that he is with Christ right now. He knows it all. He knows all of his theology very well now. Yeah, right, right. We're the ones that are still struggling. Okay. All right, let's go to our time of silent prayer. Pray this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about prayer. Pray for an open heart, and I'll come back and ask for requests. Let's pray. I hope to have an open heart this morning. And Lord, I pray that you be with me as I speak. May I speak very well for you this morning, your intent and what you want. And Lord, we just want to express our love to you and thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our King. My heads are bowed. If you have a prayer request, just raise your hand and let me pray for you. Father, I just pray all these hands, whatever they may be, Lord, we just cry out. Hear our cry, O Lord. And Lord, may you do what you need to do in our lives with these issues and help us to learn from these issues, help us to grow from these issues. And Lord, we just cry out to you, whatever you can do, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning I want to look at Jesus and his desire to pray, and maybe more succinct, his desire to talk with his Heavenly Father, because he was very intentional in getting away from the crowds to spend time with his Father to do his will. Not my will, but your will be done, are the echoing words in the garden before he's arrested. Because in thinking about what was going to happen to him, he was hoping there was another way out. Does that sound familiar? You know, and what? But his point was, not my will, but your will be done. And I look at that statement, and it's seared in my heart. I've never forgotten that verse from the time I was barely a Christian. And, you know, it's I have to keep remembering, not your will, Steve, and not your will, right? But our Heavenly Father's will be done. And no matter how much we talk or listen to biblical facts or read books on the philosophy about prayer, I think most of us have trouble with what prayer actually and literally accomplishes. It is a true mystery when we pray. And I think most of us have a trouble with what prayer actually does in accomplishes. Yet when we read Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and especially verse 7, that the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, that in itself is enough, isn't it? I mean, that actually is enough if we have peace. But it doesn't seem to always click with us, because some of us have expectations that we carry about prayer, what God should do for us, right? And we want the Bible to say, if you pray, God releases all of his power and he takes care of your issue and it's all done. That's what we'd like to read. Now, I've been looking for 40 years and I can't find it. Okay, so I think it's probably not there. It just doesn't say that. But the Bible tells us to pray, and that's not debatable. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, inviting God into our inner conversation with ourselves. And I think for most of us, we pray with a desire of very specific answers and get discouraged in his silence. And I think in my life, prayer was a difficult thing at times because I assumed it was about me and my comfort. But you don't find many prayers in the Bible about the prayer. It's more about the prayee, right? But lots about the other person, the situation, and that we can pray for. But the real question is, can our prayers parallel God's desires? Can we pray understanding the word of God and it be about his desire? Just when Jesus said, can this cup pass from me? I don't want this cup, Father, but not my will, but your will be done. Or as James says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. So this morning, I'm not going to answer how prayer works, but instead talk about Jesus' practice of prayer. So let's start by looking at Jesus' practice of prayer in Mark 1, 35 through 37. I'm going to read the darkish brown. Sorry, that's kind of a joke. Mark sends me the colors that I'm supposed to use with these slides, and so it really isn't black, but it looks black. So I'll read the black and you read the yellow. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed, Simon and those who were with him searching for him. And when they found him, they said to him,
everyone's looking for you.
Can you imagine? I feel that way as a pastor. I can't imagine what it had been for Christ. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. You know, I want to identify 3 points from this passage. He found a place free from distraction. His desire was for uninterrupted talk with his Father. People and projects are a distraction from time with God if we allow them or let them to happen. If we put it into our own situation, we would say this. We need to find a place free from distraction. True?
Yes.
We need uninterrupted time with our Father. True?
Yes.
People and projects will distract us from time with God if we let them do that. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. And I love it that Jesus had the same problems as we do and demonstrated to us how we can walk in the same steps that he walked. And so I want to apply these points to Jesus' actions. Let's look at a similar passage in Luke 5:16. Okay. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, why solitude? Why solitude? Distractions. He wants quality time with the Father. I think we want quality time with the Father. So he withdrew where he couldn't be found, even though the disciples finally found him in the other passage. That's a message for us. Another, Luke 6:12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, so here's a thing I think that usually bothers me and bothers you, and that is all night? He prayed all night? Right? I mean, what do you pray about all night? You can pray over and over or whatever, and he did, and here's the reason he prayed all night, because he was going to choose 12 disciples that would last for eternity with him as his buddies, so to speak. But all night, what can we think? And yet I stopped as I was meditating on that passage, and I thought, you know what? Every one of us has stayed up all night worrying, right? Oh, I couldn't sleep last night. How many times have I heard that and you've heard that? Oh, so we can worry all night, we just can't pray all night.
Good point.
Oh, boy. Here's another, Matthew 14:23. And when he had seen the multitudes, or sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. So first of all, I've climbed that mountain. It's 1,280 feet from the bottom up to the top, okay? Now, I'm telling you, it's a pretty grueling walk. I remember going up there and we kind of rest a little bit and then go again, where these guys, because Israel's such mountainous, they were probably in a lot better shape than we were. And the view is spectacular because the view overlooks all of the Sea of Galilee and all the cities that Jesus was ministering to. But he went up there because he knew nobody would follow him. And so he went up there and he needed recharging and strength because he got tired like we do. He was human. But praying brought him strength and peace that he needed. In this passage, right after that, a storm comes up on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples needed him, and he will walk across the top of the water and even calm the sea. He knew it was coming, but he needed the strength. People will distract us and wear us out. So the time with our Father is needed and even desperate. Jesus needed the strength like we do. You know, let me give you an example of that. This week, some of you may not know, Aurora School District rents our building on Monday and Tuesday, and we have about 150 students each day who are homeschooled. And they come in and they learn things that the home can't teach. And so it was total chaos, total rumors. What happened was a kid was talking suicide, and so a couple of the students turned him in, and then he was mad and threatened them. This was 4 months ago. Okay, they just found out 2 weeks ago. And exploded. Jamie down here and I were trying to fend off the alligators. And not that they were mad at us, they were mad at the school district, because the school district should have controlled that, right? Like they can control every movement. And I got a call from a local pastor while I was eating dinner, and he said, "Hey, Steve, I heard there was a shooter in your building. Are you all right?" A shooter in the building? And then he gave me, I said, "What other details you had?" Every detail he had was not true. You know how rumors go. You guys probably don't do this, but most people will, they'll hear the rumor and they'll add their little bit to it, little emphasis, or actually a little bit of lie at times. And so it got crazy. And so, I mean, the distraction was crazy. I had to clarify. I even came in on Friday and had a meeting with a dozen or more parents to because with the school district, they can't tell what happened. So they had an assembly on Monday, and he waxed eloquent, but it couldn't tell them anything, which only made him madder, and that kind of thing. Well, I'm not under that veil, okay? And so I could tell. And so I've been slowly telling people when they've pulled me over and asked me and that kind of thing to clear it up. But I'm telling you what, I don't know how Jamie felt, but I was out of energy listening to it. And then the people, even when you told them, wanted to try to go back to what the rumor said and keep owning that rumor, right? And I look at it and I thought, you know, I just, at some point, I just had to shut my door and spend time with my Father for renewed energy. And, you know, I get energy with people, not with solitude. But at that point, it's solitude, whether you're introvert or extrovert. And just, Lord, can I get my sermon done? Lord, can I get some of these other things that need to be done? Will you help me here? Those kind of prayers. We need to find a place free from distraction. We need uninterrupted time with our Father, realizing that people and projects will distract us from that time with God if we let them. Do you hear me this morning on that?
Yes.
Luke 9:18. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" So we need to understand that Jesus wasn't upset with the distractions, because that is the ministry, right? Any of you who have worked in the ministry or been in Boy Scouts or been in whatever, okay, distractions are part of the job. That isn't the problem. It's when those distractions push the Father out. And many of you participate in some element of the ministry and are involved with people needing help and needing answers. But if you don't find that solitude for restoring your energy, it will result in burnout. And the problem is, when you get burned out, then it's like, oh, I don't know. I just don't know if this is worth it. And it's because we're not going back to the Father. Do you hear me this morning? God wants all of us to minister in some fashion. That isn't the issue. But it takes alone time with God to keep you focused. You know, I look back and 6-7 years ago in my life, I had stood up here and told the congregation that I'm worn out, and I had even considered resigning from this job because I was so burnt out. I went home to talk to my wife one day. I started crying, and it was about a week and a half later that I stopped crying. Have you ever been that worn out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not alone, I don't think. And it was just a meltdown because I couldn't cover all the problems and all the people. And I look back at that time, the exhaustion, and it was that I was carrying the load. I wasn't sharing it with the Father. I was carrying the load. I'm his representative, right? So I had to relook at my life and get back to those moments alone with God and pray. And brothers and sisters, I prayed. And I'm still here as a result of it. Jesus focused first on his Father, and then he could deal with the people. I was focused on the people and almost lost sight of the Father. Just the reverse. It's almost like a death wish, isn't it? When you think about it. So let's be honest. We all do that. We all at times begin to take on the responsibilities and harbor it and all the things around us, rather than trusting in the Father who told us to trust in Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you, but we don't do that. We need it to recharge our batteries, our emotional batteries, and then we can work with the people. Maybe we can put it this way. We love others, we minister others, but all those others are God's, not ours. Amen? So the whole concept of rising and going to a quick place to pray somehow speaks to my soul. Does it yours? And I'm telling you from experience, it doesn't have to take that long. You don't have to do it all through the night. So getting up early or praying late into the night or at lunch in your car, an isolated place, a room, sitting on a rock, on a picnic table in solitude, early in the morning, late in the morning, was Jesus' only reserve because He had people following Him every day and lots of them. That's why He was feeding a crowd of 5,000. And if you look at the original text, that was 5,000 men. It wasn't counting the women and the kids. So it was only that time that Jesus could pray without being interrupted. And we may be able to get it just through different times. So let me ask you this question. Where is your place? Do you take time out in your life to purposely spend time with God? The worship team would come back up to the stage. In closing, let me tell you this. I don't get up at dawn. I tried that so many times in my life. I was just, when I read George Mueller's biography and he was a prayer 3 or 4 hours in the morning, I would try to do that and fall asleep. Just would. So that doesn't work for me. And journaling and praying and pleading in God in my office in the morning or in my car coming and going, those times in my office when I could just shut my door and spend some time with God works for me. And I have learned to talk with God all day long by inviting Him into my inner conversation. You know, the conversation you have with yourself, and all of a sudden you answer out loud and people look at you? You know that conversation? Okay, that can be shared with God, can it, the whole time? He's the go-to person in our life. And it has drawn me closer to Him by doing that. Maybe it's capsulized under this verse. Be still and know that I am Yeah. Be still and know that I'm God. Where's your place? If you don't have one, will you make one? So that you can restore your energy and serve God in a much stronger way.